You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
But we're talking about being a difference maker, and I want you to grab your listening guide as well. And being a difference maker is we've been in this series for like 3 years now, but particularly these last few weeks together. And we've been looking at difference makers making a difference at home, difference makers making a difference at their workplace, at their church. And then today I want to talk to you about difference makers leaving a legacy. That's what Torrance wants to happen in his life, and we all want to happen in our life, that there's a legacy that we leave. Well, what is a legacy? A legacy is this. It's a memory that preaches a message, is what it is. It's when you have a memory of someone and it preaches a message in your life. It's when someone's past affects your future. And their legacy is one of impact that you're able to say, that person is still making a difference even though they've gone on to be with the Lord. Even though they're not here, they are still a difference maker in our lives. Now, when we say the Difference Makers Declaration, which we'll say in just a couple minutes, to be able to say it together, there's a phrase in it that talks about a legacy to leave. And that's what we're going to look at today in Philippians chapter 1. If you got your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to see Paul's statement about leaving a legacy. But when we get to that in the scripture, we're going to see this legacy being left. But I want us to say together the Difference Makers Declaration, okay? So everybody say it out loud, loud and proud. We're going to say this together. Notice the legacy part of it that we're going to have. Here it is. I was made for more than watching. I have a history-changing, difference-making, life-giving, spirit-empowered legacy to leave. Jesus, I ask you to work deeply in me and clearly through me as I pray, give, and go in your love. I am a difference maker in Jesus' name, amen. When we declare that of saying, I have a legacy to leave, what does that mean? It's a memory that preaches a message. It's a past that affects a future. And Paul, in chapter 1 of Philippians, is going to show us this. But before we get there, let me ask you a question. And this is your homework assignment. What do you want written on your tombstone? What will be written on your tombstone? In a lot of ways, that's your legacy, isn't it? That what would be written on your tombstone. So I want you to think about that. And I want you later today or later on this week, whenever it is, that you would write down what you want. Try to put it in like 3 or 4 sentences. You're not going to get that much. Not 3 or 4 paragraphs, just 3 or 4 sentences. What do you really want to be remembered for? What is it that you want in Cyprus or downtown or in Siena to be really remembered for? That's your legacy. What would be written on your tombstone? Now, in thinking about that, I found a few tombstones that I thought were kind of interesting legacies to leave. So let's look at this one. Raised 4 beautiful daughters with only 1 bathroom, and still there was love. That's a good one. Dads, you can relate. Now, this one's a little morbid. This is where death meets Art Deco, okay, is what this is. Dead. That's it. That was a legacy. Mel Blanc, do you know who that is? He was the voice of Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Tweety Bird, Sylvester the Cat, Yosemite Sam, all these other ones that many of us grew up with. He's the one that said, you know, that's all, folks. And that was what his legacy was. That's all, folks. Then we've got this third one, or this last one here. Mom's Christmas cookies. That's the sweetest tombstone you'll ever see right there. That was her legacy, to say, I want you to remember these Christmas cookies, and I bet they were good. You can take a screenshot later and see if you can make them later this afternoon. See, legacy stays faithful to the very end, and your tombstone and my tombstone, one day it will be there. I know we don't like to think about that, but we're all headed towards the grave, and hopefully from the grave then to heaven. Do you know that in our church, big church, but do you know that we do 150 to 200 funerals a year? So every one of us are heading towards that place in which we will leave a legacy. What will be written on your tombstone? What will be written with your life? What will be the legacy that you leave? Look in Philippians chapter 1. And let's see in verses 12 through 14 of this legacy that Paul wants to declare. He's in prison in Rome when he writes this. Verse 12. Now I want you to know. Legacy. I want you to know this. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel. Being in prison advanced the gospel. Verse 13. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. Most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. Boldness leads to boldness. The first thing that he gets to, he says, I want you to know. So here's the question. What legacy will you leave? What legacy will you leave? What is it that people will know about you? What is it that you want them to know about you? Is what you want them to know about you what they're going to really remember about you? What legacy will you leave? Every one of us is going to leave a legacy. Therefore, we've got to, as difference makers, point our attention and our hearts and say, I want you to know. So what is it you want them to know? And whatever that is, then let's declare it with our lives, and let's declare it with our words, and let's declare it with our actions. Let me tell you what, you need to look your wife in the face, your husband in the face, your kids, your friends, whoever it is that you really care for, and say, I want you to know, I love you. You are living from my approval, not for my approval. I think you're amazing. I pray for you. I care for you. No one is more for you. We say this in our house all the time. No one is more for you than the people right here in this room. Everybody in this room, we're the most for you people on the planet. And we want you to know that and speak those things. What is it you want them to know? And declare that and let them know that. We are doing a thing actually today after the service here at the Loop campus. We're going to do it at other campuses as well. We've done it many times. It's an organization we work with called Philanthrocorp, and they work to help with your wills and your estates and those sort of things to be able to help us with that. And so I've done that process as well, and they helped us work through our will. And so I changed the beginning part of the will. They said, you know, some other people do different things at the beginning of a will than I, Gregory John Mott, being of sound mind and sound body, because I may get to the end of my life, they're like, oh yeah, like he was of sound mind. I mean, come on. We're just glad we got the document when he was. I mean, you know, that sort of thing. But so we changed it. So this is what Kelly's is and mine is, just different names. This is mine. I, Gregory John Mott. Thinking about this phrase, Paul says, I want you to know. I, Gregory John Mott, living in Houston, Texas, hereby declare this to be my will, and I revoke any prior wills made by me. I want all who read to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and that there is no doubt in my mind that upon death I will enter into heaven. I will do so not by my own worthiness, but through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and His death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. I ask my children and grandchildren to share God's word with everyone and to always remember how much you are loved, knowing He will provide for you, because I'm not going to leave you a cent. No, I'm kidding. That's not in there. That's not in there. And you know, my family's in the room, so like, oh, good. Oh, I know where this is going. And I encourage you to place your faith in Christ alone. Never trust in the world for your comfort. I look forward to seeing you all again in our life hereafter, where we will all live with our Lord and Savior. May God grant you peace and love and strength as He guides you through this life. Then at the end of time, we will be reunited in heaven as a happy family seeing Jesus face to face. Do you hear Paul in Philippians 1? I want you to know. And then me declaring here, I want you to know and to understand what the legacy truly is of Jesus Christ and the greatness of God. Not accomplishments, not money, not who gets stock XYZ, not who gets this, that, and the other. It is, I want you to know, what legacy will you leave? And are you right now declaring what you really want them to know? Or are you just so busy surviving, you're not really living? And your to-do list doesn't have anything really important on it. It's just got going to the cleaners, going to the store, getting stuff done for today. Paul says, I want you to know. And then he goes further. He says, I want you to know that what's happened to me, this is verse 12, has actually advanced the gospel. What happened to him? He's in prison. He's in jail. He's in a Roman prison. And that's advancing the gospel. Here's what we got to know. Legacy is more than what you see today. Legacy is more than what you see today. You may feel like you're the worst parent on planet Earth. Hang on. Legacy is not just what you see today. You may feel like you've failed at so many things. Legacy is not just what you see today. Look at how the Lord has used Torrance's life to turn it around for so many great things. That God can do these amazing things. Legacy is more than what you see today. Do you know that life often does not go as expected. Often does not go as expected. And students, I know you got it all planned out, and singles, you've already named your kids, but it does not go as you expect it to go. It's better sometimes, it's worse sometimes, and that's life. And so we've got to know that legacy is not just what we see today, it's being faithful through the curves, through the dips, through the mountaintops. It's being faithful in all of those things. So what do you do when life doesn't go like you want it to go? Here's what you do, you surrender. You simply surrender. If the enemy's coming against you, surrender. It'll backfire in his face. If it's your flesh coming against you, surrender. It'll backfire in sin's face. If it's the Lord leading you, surrender. It'll be the right thing to do, to be able to surrender and say, God, we give you this life that's not always as we expect, and we trust you with it. So Paul's saying, in a Roman prison, this has happened, and it's actually advanced the gospel. My legacy is being furthered by a trial. Now, what is seen in Paul's trials? Two things are seen in Paul's trials. It speaks in this verse, in this whole book of Philippians, it speaks of, number one, his relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, I'm in a Roman prison. I'm writing you a letter to the people of Philippi, but I want you to know that I know nothing but the surpassing knowledge of Christ Jesus, the peace that passes all understanding. His relationship with Christ, that's the beginning point of a legacy. A legacy begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where an eternal relationship. So people don't talk about what you do. They talk about who you are. They talk about your relationship with God, a praying father or grandfather or friend, a praying mom or grandmother or friend, a hardworking person that's serving the Lord in those ways, a relationship with Jesus, that's where it begins, and that's where it begins with Paul. And so I just ask you this, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a real relationship with Christ? Not you're sitting in church right now, or you're watching on the internet, or you're in one of the campuses. No, do you have a real relationship with Christ? Nobody is doing everything perfect, me included. But do you know Jesus? And if you don't, here's what it means to know Christ. We've all sinned. We've all done things wrong. We can't just go to church enough. We can't just be nice enough. We can't just be good enough. We have to place our faith in Jesus, who died for our sins and rose again on our behalf. So now my faith is in Jesus. I'm on a solid foundation, and God through Christ now lives in my heart through the Holy Spirit. So I'm able to say, Lord, I know you personally. I don't just know about you, but I've received in faith and in prayer. I prayed and said, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. I want a relationship with Christ. And so I moved from being lost to being found. This weekend, I had a scary thing happen. I lost my wallet. So as a man, I mean, ladies, you lose your purse or your wallet, you're like, ah. And I, you know, you lose your keys from time to time, but how do you lose your wallet? Wait a minute. And so I'm like, we're searching, we're looking every place we could possibly look. I mean, just looking. Okay, go back over it. And the good news is it was found this morning. It was found. Now, I canceled all my credit cards yesterday, you know, all that stuff. I had gotten to where I just didn't want to mess with my driver's license, okay, because I was like, the line has got to be like forever long to do that. I don't know what it is, but it just sounds painful. So send me new credit cards, but let's just wait a few days. I will drive illegally for a few days, but to see how this works out. But it was found today. Do you feel it with me? It feels so good. It's found. I got it. Ah, so good. If a wallet being found feels that good, how much more when a soul is found? When a life is found? When a legacy is begun? When someone comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior and their soul is found? That's better than any wallet you could find. You get credit cards, driver's license, get money later. Your soul is found in Christ. That's a relationship. Number two, Paul talks about his service to Christ. That's the legacy. That's the combination, his relationship with Christ and his service to Christ, that we're able to serve Jesus. That's an amazing thing. Last week, we filled out at all campuses volunteer cards talking about serving the Lord and then hung them up in the lobbies or foyers of all of our campuses. Let me read you a couple talking about serving Christ. I serve as a life Bible study teacher and also in the music ministry. It helps me to study the word consistently. Let me tell you what, nobody gets more out of the messages than I do, or the Life Bible Study teachers do, because we're studying them and getting ready to present them. It helps to study the Word consistently and renews my joy as I worship the only one worthy of my praise. Smiley face at the end. I serve and men serve. Are men going out to help the widows? I understand that widows need our help, and it pleases the Lord for us to serve in this way. I serve in the preschool ministry so children and parents can learn about the love of Jesus. I serve as a Life Bible Study teacher. I cannot repay Christ, but I can respond with the gifts he has given me. I can't repay Christ, but I can respond with the gifts that he's given me. Do you know, it's just four. None of these had, I do it because I hate it. I mean, I don't have time for this with the pastor twisting my arm. Oh, I take care of all those little kids, and they just smile all the time. I tell them about Jesus. Oh, what a hassle. No, it's a joy of our life to be able to serve and to shine and to declare and to leave a legacy, serving in the home or at work or at church or other organizations, to let that be a place of legacy. So his trials, Paul's trials, declare, I have a relationship with Jesus, so I'm going to make it through this Roman prison. And I'm going to serve Christ even while I'm here, so the gospel will actually be advanced by the trials that I go through. Now, we don't have time for it, but I gave you four reasons here on your listening guide of why possibly you could go through a trial. It's not all four together. It's a, you know, or. There's undealt with sin in someone's life, or you are gaining spiritual experience, or to prevent sin in our lives, or to give us more strength in our testimony. So those are scriptural reasons of why you may be going through suffering. What's going on? I don't know. But to let that suffering be a service of Christ and you being able to be a relationship with Christ so that you can say, Lord, this has happened, so the advance of the gospel. Now look at verses 13 and 14. So that, anytime you see a because or therefore or so that or as a result of, pay particular attention. So that this has happened. Why? It has become known throughout the whole imperial guard. Remember them. I'm going to talk about them in a minute. And to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I'm in Christ. Verse 14, most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even to speak the word more fearlessly. So people are encouraged and they grow even stronger. His trials, his tasks are building his legacy. Here's what we've got to do. Make sure your tasks build your legacy. Make sure your tasks build your legacy. Much of life is this. It's a circle, a vicious circle, really. Task, trials. We go round and round and round and round. Task, trials. Things to do, things to moan about. And right in the middle of that is the heart of worship, of knowing Christ and serving him. So make your tasks go into worship. Make your trials go into worship. Break the circle by going into worship. Do you see it? So now I want my tasks to be about Jesus. Now, all of us have a things-to-do list, but let me tell you what. Your things-to-do list is temporary. Should you go to the store? Yes, you should go to the store. Should you pick up the dry cleaning? Of course you should pick up the dry cleaning. Should you check your emails? By all means. Should you do this, that, and the other? Of course you should. But should you do that and miss a date night with your wife or your husband? Miss loving your kids, miss being a true friend to somebody, miss being a part of God's work through you and serving the Lord, miss worshiping Christ. No, and many of us are surviving instead of living. We are simply surviving instead of living, and our legacy is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Nobody's going to say, boy, that went by the dry cleaners, faithfully. Oh, man, I tell you what, everything got checked off that list. I'm a box checker. I'm so much of a box checker, I'll write down things I already did so I can feel the joy of checking the box next to them. So I'm all for it. I got a lot of things to do, too, and I'm trying to do them. But Paul is saying, make sure your tasks are building your legacy. Go on that vacation. Take that trip. Order dessert. Take somebody out for coffee. Do whatever it is. Share your faith. Share the gospel. And he says, so that all this stuff has happened, not just so I can get out of here one day, so that the gospel could be advanced. All these things are building the gospel's advancement in your life? So that this is the answer why. What's the why of your life? Do you have a solid why? Here's the way the why should work. I worked at Exxon so that, finish the blank. I worked at MD Anderson so that. I worked at that school so that. I preached so that. I was a dad, a husband, a father. I was a friend. I was a little league coach so that. I made great grades, students, so that. Do you have a good blank at the end of it, and does it have anything to do with Christ? Because that's the so that of eternity. And Paul is saying, I was imprisoned so that the gospel could go forward even more than it has in this moment right now. And God used his trials and God used his tasks to give a legacy to Paul. And I submit to you, I don't know who's got a better legacy than Paul of seeing God do great things. Our last question, here's the last thing. Who's your legacy audience? Who's your legacy audience? Who is it that's watching your so that? Who is it that you're wanting to leave a legacy for? Now, if you notice when you fill this out, there's one blank for you to fill out that word I just put in there, audience, to fill in the blank. Then there's three empty blanks underneath. I want you to write in those blanks the names of the people that are your legacy audience. Who are the most important people? You could write it right now or you could work on it this afternoon. Now, maybe you just need to write grandkids in there because you got like eight of them, okay? That's fine. You could put a descriptor. You could put grandkids, okay? You could put kids in there. Probably not best to put wives. You know, that's probably not the best to put in there. You know, we're only supposed to have one of those at a time. But to be able to have these things here, who are the people that you're wanting to leave a legacy for? Who's your legacy audience? And that's an important thing. Because that defines our so that. We don't want our so that. We want it to be about Jesus. We don't want our so that so I can get over my dysfunction, so that I can feel better about myself, so that I can have all this. No, we want our so that so I can make a difference in somebody's life. And there's your somebody's. Do you remember in 1 John we talked about how many friends you can have? Facebook says thousands. What do psychologists say? They say you can have 3 to 5 people that are close to you, 3 to 5 people that are really close to you. You can have 15 people that really matter. You can have 50 people that are kind of surrounding acquaintances, and you can have about 150 people that your mind can actually keep up with, and then after that, it's just, your mind's blown. So I'm asking you about these 3 to 5 people. Who's the most important people in your life for you to leave a legacy for? Now, let me show it to you in the scripture, and we'll wrap up. Verse 14, verse 13, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard, that's group one, and everyone else. Throughout the Imperial Guard and through everyone else. Here's what I want you to have. I want you to have two groups. Important people and everyone else. I just had you write down your 3 most important people. Might be groups of people, 3 most important people. Who's the Imperial Guard? Let me tell you who the Imperial Guard is from the scripture. Here's what one commentator tells about them. They were originally 10,000 picked soldiers concentrated in Rome by Tiberius. So Tiberius was the emperor. He picked these soldiers to concentrate them in Rome. They had double the pay and special privileges, and they became so powerful that the emperors had to court their favor. Paul had a contact with them one after another with these soldiers. So here's what happened. The Imperial Guard, they were so important. They were handpicked. They got double pay, special privileges, and the emperor had to go, do you guys like me? Please like me. Please, if you don't like me, you're going to overthrow me. So please, please, please like me. That's how important they became. And Paul was so important and such a threat to Rome that he had the Imperial Guard would stand next to him and he would share Christ with them over and over and over and over. You see God's strategy in that? It wasn't haphazard. God's putting the most important people next to Paul so that Paul could share Christ with them, and they're chained to him literally so that then they can take the gospel and just one after another would come through. So the first part of your legacy audience is there's going to be people in your life that are tremendously important. Doesn't mean everybody's soul isn't important. Doesn't mean you're a snob. It's just true. There's people that are a little bit closer to you. And there's everyone else, and our legacies should be spoken to each one of those. Begin with the most important people and let it go. Your kids shouldn't think you're awesome and the dry cleaner think you're a jerk, okay? Those should go together. And at the same time, your kids shouldn't find out you've been nice to the dry cleaner your whole life, and they're like, dude, what? You know? So you got to put these two things together, right? We're on a journey. There's a lot of people to touch and meet, especially in a big city like ours. the most important people, though. Think about them and make sure you've got, doesn't have to be your will. We can help you do that, or you can just copy mine, the beginning of it, probably not the rest of it. But to be able to say, I want you to know. I really want you to know to those important people. Do they know? I mean, do they really know? See, God used Moses' staff. He used David's sling, and he also used Paul's chains. And we like the rod and we like the sling a lot better than we like the chains. And God can use the trials in your life to build a legacy as you declare, this is what I want you to know. Important guards and everybody else. Close with this last thing. Billy Graham left quite a legacy, didn't he? Let me show you Billy Graham and Ruth Graham's tombstones, and I'll read you what they say on it. Ruth Graham's, we started with kind of some crazy tombstones, a mom's cookies and such. Ruth Bell Graham has got a Chinese symbol there because she was a missionary to China. Her heart was there for many years to be a missionary to China. At the bottom, here's what the bottom of her tombstone says. It's hard to read in that picture. It says this, end of construction, thank you for your patience. Isn't that cute? End of construction. Thank you for your patience. She had a great sense of humor. Billy Graham, at the bottom of his tombstone, what all could you have written on Billy Graham's tombstone? I mean, you could have written so much. This was his legacy. It's so perfect. Preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, period. John 14:6, for Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me, is what that verse is. Preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the things it could have been. And then I love that their tombstones are actually laying flat as well. They're not even sticking up. Now, I want like a statue, okay, and a big sticking up one. Make it amazing. They're so humble, it's laying down flat, and it's just simply the preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we were to take this, we could say it like this, a difference maker. That's his legacy, a difference maker. It's not all the awards, not all the stuff, who all he met, how many presidents he knew, how many places he'd eaten an amazing dinner. Preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you this, what will be on your tombstone? What will be your legacy? And will it be a difference-making legacy that you truly leave? And if you're kind of not sure, begin today rewriting the story. It's called Grace of Jesus Christ. Father, we come in Jesus' name and we thank you, Lord, that you have left a legacy to us with an empty tomb, with salvation. Father, thank you, God, for all that you've done and are doing in our lives. And we pray for our relationship with you, our service to you, and our legacy to leave. We truly are difference makers for you, God. May we leave a legacy that points to the future when it speaks of the past, when our memory becomes our message. And we just pray for that, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.